Skype of Cthulhu presents A Call of Cthulhu Campaign Eternal Lies by Will Hindmarch and Jeff Tidball with Jeremy Keller.
Whenever Jim is ready.
I am ready whenever the official catch-up person is ready. Go right ahead, Steve.
Passing the ball. All right. All right. A lot has happened to our intrepid investigators.
What are the highlights, Steve? Tell us the highlights.
Yes. The highlights. So, last week, let's see. Last week saw a group of us at the house. Running back into the house, I believe, when they heard a scream. They had just retrieved a book from the Henslow Estates graveyard, or a metal box, and they stashed that quickly in the car and ran back inside when they heard Mama scream. And apparently something to do with that book, it wasn't a book, it was some sort of protective symbol on some type of stone that they removed. And when they removed it, possibly some evil
coincidentally.
Yes, pure coincidence, of course. No scientific evidence that these two things are connected at all. Mama screamed and died, and they noticed, I think it was something wet and dripping in the wardrobe that was kind of a big smiling mouth that did laugh and speak, I believe, in some language they didn't recognize, which is, darn leaks. You know, it was the middle of a thunderstorm, so surely must be some water coming in those old houses. Meanwhile, the gang couldn't do too much there for Mama, so they just they took their metal box and they went back to the hotel, where they met up with the rest of the group, which was Dorothy, Udko, and Father Mandarius. And they had been reading, or Father Mandarius, rather, had been reading the files that were donated to him so lovingly by the psychiatric hospital, that were the profiles for that guy, Job, and the crazy Henslow. Everything points to something going down out there in California. They left something at a bank safe deposit box out there, and we have the names of some of the other their compatriots who were killed in the raid on the farm that night, and a few other leads. So after talking it over at the hotel, we decided let's call Frank, have him get the plane ready in the morning. And when we headed on out to the airport bright and early, we were accosted by a few men on the road. We were in two different cars because we have a big group. And the lead car, there was a car in front of Miss Sullivan, I believe. Was she the one driving? Do I have that right?
Okay,
so she was driving, and the car in front of her suddenly skidded a little bit and turned sideways, blocking the road, which she was able to niftily speed past. But Dr. Udko doesn't have her police training, so he wasn't quite able to do the same. But there was a bit of a fender bender, and then we were rear-ended by another car. And men started pulling everyone from the cars and beating them savagely until, of course, the brave Miss Astor pulled her little gun out and shooting people. And the other car returned and the bigger guns came out, and we ran everybody off. I think we had – was it one dead body that we had that we picked up, and one car with some – flat tires. Anyway, it's okay because we took it all to nearby payphone, I think. And we made the calls from the Hunter Army Airfield to the police, and let the cops know what had happened, and we'll get full report, of course, by telephone once we arrive in Los Angeles. And off we went. The men, for their part, guy in tattoo looked Oriental, is what we had. It was some sort of Thai tattoo. One of the guys was Latino. One of them was white. And they, whatever language they were speaking was in English. None of us recognized it, except that some of the ones at the Henslow estate recognized or associated with the same language that the watery mouth was speaking in the wardrobe. So that's that. After that, we hopped on the plane. We took off to I don't know how many legs it would take to get from Savannah out to I don't even know what was open over there. John Wayne, maybe, whatever was open at that point in time.
No, it's McKinley Field.
McKinley Field.
That sounds right.
Isn't that where Terror from the Skies took us?
It was 35. Yeah, I think so.
There we go. So that's where we're headed.
Well, you're actually heading towards Grand Central Air Terminal in Glendale. That's where the pilot's taking you.
Okay.
That's north of Los Angeles.
Best summary we have had in a long time. That was awesome.
Yes, Steve. Like, someone can actually skip the last session and just listen to this one.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right. So, very good, guys.
If all the people do is listen to the summary and then skip on to the next summary from the next the next recording, I guess, you know, that's – we've all done our job, all the summary.
There are some actual plays that I do that for.
All right. Let's see. Let's start by you're all tired, you know. You were not ready for that scuffle on the road to the airport. So why don't we start by rolling a constitution roll?
Can we also
we want to start by rolling luck?
Yeah, luck.
Constitution. Constitution.
Denied.
You. Ow.
Well, it does state in the rules that if you are doing the luck roll, it's at the beginning of the session.
I guess we're not doing luck.
This is for the last session, Steve.
Oh,
yeah, you see?
How easily it changes.
Nice.
Vote our president. No.
Pass.
Normal success.
No, I'm going to be tired.
I'm going to burn six luck to make that a success.
Okay.
Now, how do you want to play this, though, Randall? Because I rolled a 96, but my con skill is 90.
Very nice. That's fine. You can roll it and stay awake if you want. I mean, you can spend the luck.
Yeah, perfect.
All right. So between Chung and Helen, let's see. Like, from Miss Sullivan and Miss King, who's more tired? Like, who lost... You know, who missed it by more points?
I missed it by 10.
I have no idea because you didn't tell me to pay attention to that.
Details.
I'll just say I missed it by more because that'll be more interesting.
All right. So I'm going to stay with Sean for a moment. If you guys don't mind putting down your headsets, I will call you.
Roll for luck while you're gone.
You can roll your luck. Now the rest are awake. You are free to roll. All right, Shum. What is happening?
I don't know.
You're there on the plane, right? Sitting there, and there's a sound that wakes you up. You open your eyes, and you see the clouds passing by through the window, and you hear your own voice, but they are kind of whistling in a language you don't quite understand. You kind of open your eyes widely, you know, kind of in surprise, because you're not moving your mouth, and you realize that the words, even though they are yours, they're not coming from your mouth, and your shirt chips at your belly as if it is being pushed from within, and you see that it kind of dampens more and more. You kind of tear your shirt away, and you discover a mouth, a white mouth. Tongue is probing, and it's cut across your stomach like gash. And it's oozing pus and blood. And he yells out at you in any words, in your own voice. And when you try to call for help, you find your own mouth shrinking away to nothing, closing around your tongue, swallowing your teeth and flesh. You cannot exhale, you cannot breathe, and you start to suffocate, and then you wake screaming. Let me call the others first. And that's, of course, worth a sanity roll. It was too vivid for you.
Uh-huh. What's a fail?
I just saw 1d4.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so we pick up his corpse and... No? Not dead?
Ah! Oh. Oh. Oh, boy. That. Oh.
Miss King, are you all right?
Yes. I'm fine. Thank you. Oh, that was... Well, things have been very... Oh, well... Does anybody have a glass of water, perhaps, or maybe something a little stronger? Then she reaches into her purse and pulls out a little flask. Takes a little swig. That's fine. Yes, thank you.
Miss King, I've got something here in my bag if you need something a bit stronger. Caffeine?
Oh, no, I think I'm fine, Doctor, but thank you. Thank you. No, I just... I don't think so. I'm afraid to... Yes, no, everything's fine. No, please, just... What were we talking about? I'm sorry, I must have dozed off a bit.
Yes, we were just about to talk about your nightmare that you had. It stalled us also when you woke up.
It was just a stomach pain, really. Yes, just a... pain in my stomach.
How about a psychology on that? If you want to make a bluff.
No, you can pull psychology and see how you do.
Alright.
Sounds like an opposition roll.
No. I'm willing to do it straight up. It's fine.
46. I'll burn 6 to make that a success.
Alright, so she's definitely not telling the truth. There's something that's disturbing her. But she does have her hand on her stomach. And as you look, you can see that she's kind of moving it around, just as if she's feeling for something or making sure that there's nothing there.
Very well. Taken with a grain of salt. I'll just nod and kind of give her a knowing look in the eyes.
Miss King, perhaps you need something for your stomach then. I have various tonics.
Oh, that's so kind of you, Doctor. Really, maybe a little something. Yes. Maybe a little something. It just, my stomach must have been a little upset by the traveling.
Colloid silver.
Here, try this.
Okay, do I recognize the label at all?
Oh, I give you a couple of pills. You don't. You may not have seen the bottle that they came out of.
I probably didn't. All right, I will take the pills.
One is blue, the other one is red.
Pick one. Yeah, I take the two pills. What happens?
Your indigestion is relieved if you have any.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, doctor. That's much better. Oh, I'm sorry to create such a fuss. All this attention. Yes. Well, if you don't mind, I'm just going to just take a little bit more of a nap. And she sort of reaches over for a blanket and sort of throws it over her shoulder. Leans up against the side of the airplane.
All right. Sounds good. Do you guys want to do anything else before arriving to the airport?
Udko was going to read Glimpse of Madness, I think.
I think I did, and it was just a pop psych sort of
amateur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, try this instead. Pass in one of my books.
Fascinating. I'll give it a read when I have a chance.
All right. So let's you arrive to the airport, and of course, Mr. Cairns will arrange everything for the plane. And he asks you, how long do you think it's gonna take you here in LA? I will book a hotel nearby, but I was wondering for how long should I rent the hangar?
Well, let's...
Certainly for several days.
Yes.
I will book a couple of days and we'll go from there. Okay, I'm just sure, keep me
I'm sure
updated.
We'll know for sure in a day or two.
Very good. So I will say this hotel. He gives you the information of the hotel where he's staying. And you guys, let me know what you want to do.
Sounds good. We've got to get all the way down to Long Beach, don't we?
If he has the number, we'll get the number to the hotel so we can call him and let him know.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we don't listen to Jim or Ellen, so I don't know if they're muted or just, not talking.
They still have their headsets off.
Just not talking.
Do you think that's the case? I don't think so. Let's see. I will ping him.
What are our leads out here in LA? We've got
I'm looking for. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I know we've got a safe deposit box in a bank somewhere, right?
Where yeah. The key.
Yeah. And also some type of notes or something, some stuff, I thought. But other than that, I mean, I know things happened out here. We have names that we can begin investigating. We could have
let's start with the bank since that's our obvious.
Okay. I was going to say if we want to split again, Miss Sullivan, go to the local cops with some of the names we have about find out their angle on the big ruckus if we wanted to. Other than that, I don't know anything else.
I wonder if we could get somebody to identify that. Well, I don't know if anyone has a drawing of that tattoo or could describe it to someone.
Was it all the same tattoo that those men had? Or was it just in the Thai style?
You just noticed it on one of them.
Hmm.
Because he, you know, he was the one that was dead. You were able to register, basically.
Gotcha.
So one of us could probably describe it to someone, but maybe not with a lot of precision. All right.
Well, if someone makes some sort of artistic role, you know, can actually reproduce the tattoo. Draw it somewhere.
Well, I've been working in my notebook this whole time. Let me see. No, I mean, the base art and craft is just 5%. I mean, I have literature, but that's not any kind of artistic thing. Try to roll the 5, see if it's legible.
Okay.
Well, I think we definitely need to go check out UCLA. That was...
What's UCLA?
What was the clue there?
Yeah. There was a guy, George something, that was friends with Echevarria.
Yeah, Henslow was saying something about how they were gathered, right?
Sex, books, parties, drugs.
Job was a recruiter from UCLA. Right.
Certainly, although that was 10 or 11 years ago, it may be difficult.
But maybe we could find out the people that used to hang together back then. Get a list. Maybe they were all in the same class, or maybe go to some other people to talk to.
Perhaps one of us could go to the university and look up the old yearbooks for Job if he was a student here.
I'm always willing to do some work in a library. That'd be fine.
Job, Catherine Clark, Winston Stack, F.C. Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, is it Echevarria? Maybe he was a professor there even or something. I mean, obviously some type of visiting lecturer or something. Obviously if he was recruiting from the college, he may have some type of official capacity.
Wonder if there's any newspaper stories about this this barn fire explosions.
There's certainly police records.
Well, you should be able to get access to those.
So we got the cops, the college, the paper, and the bank.
What's the university connection?
Job, one of the crazy guys from the asylum, was recruited by the cultists. He was a student at UCLA, and we're thinking it's possible that, you know.
Maybe we could find their alumni club and get addresses for some of these people who might still be alive in the area.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe find some other connection to what was going on back at that time. Something.
Exactly. So.
Right. So how will we split up then?
I'm up for the library. I think I'd probably.
Yes, it'll be good to have your help there, Master.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Were
you going to them, Mr. Elliott?
Well, I was going to say, Miss Sullivan, you're obviously going to be escorting, maybe take some people with you, go check out the police, or...
Yeah, I will. I'll go visit the police if anybody...
Miss King, would you care to come with us?
I was thinking we should probably just go right. I mean, the clearest indicator we have of what's next is at the bank. I think one group should go to the bank with the key.
Certainly. Well, I'll go to the bank if no one else will.
Why? Well, I'll come with you, Doctor. That would be lovely.
So, Utko and King to bank, Sullivan to police. Elliot, who's going to the library?
Aster.
Elliot and Aster. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Jim has some sort of nefarious plan for his character.
The father is going to the zoo.
to the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
If only there were some connection. No, I will join to the university.
And when you say join, I feel like you're the only one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought library meant university. So Elliot and Aster are not.
Oh, library might be because it was.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. Okay. The other one on our list was newspaper, not right.
Yeah. So university research.
There we go. Okay.
All right. So let's start by. With the group that is going to the university. They arrive to the university. Let's say you can go to one of the student information centers. Is there anything you want to ask in specific?
Well, I think I don't think we would go to a student center. We would just go to the university.
Yeah. Okay. Especially with Miss Astor's writing chops, I think any problems she could lean on that, and probably librarians would be more amenable.
Okay.
Looks like a librarian, so she fits right into.
All right.
They'll probably ask you to sign some of their editions they have in there.
So, yeah, you run into the... a librarian, and she asked, "What can I do for you?"
Hi, how do you do,
Jordan? I'm doing very well.
Yes, these are my associates, Mr. Elliot and Father Mandarius. I'm an author. You know, a bit of an author, I'm not sure if you've heard of me, but we're here doing research for a new book of mine, and we were looking into some occurrences that happened in the past about the time of 1924, I believe, was what it was.
23, 24.
Yes, occurring nearby with involving perhaps some students from UCLA. I was wondering if you had maybe some records we could take a look at.
Oh, wow. This is all so exciting. Well, you tell me where you want to start. What's your name again?
Dorothy Aster, dear.
Oh, of course. Yes, I do know you.
Oh, you're so kind. So kind. That's wonderful.
I love your latest book.
Oh, thank you so much. Would you like a copy?
I do own a copy.
Oh, would you like me to sign it? That's wonderful.
Yes, yes. If you're here tomorrow, I'll bring it.
Lovely, lovely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, please let me know. Where do you want to start?
Certainly. Perhaps you could show us to some of the student records, the yearbooks, that type of thing. Something around that.
The yearbook? Sure. You come over here. And she guides you over, you know, section that is not very close to the entrance of the library. And there are a lot of yearbooks there. This is what we got. Not for, you know, we don't keep a lot of them, but I think not 23rd, 24th, they are there.
Certainly, certainly. Perhaps you have... there are some more extensive records as well that the university would have on some of its students.
Oh, well, then that's...
All for another... research, you know, darling. All for research.
No, sure.
While they're talking, I'm going to pick up the 1923 yearbook and the 1924 yearbook, and I'll hand one to the father. And start looking through it.
Okay.
Try and find any of those people listed. Catherine Clark, Winston Stack, F.C. Coleman.
Okay.
Or in, maybe even in faculty, Echevarria.
Okay. Echevarria. Echevarria.
you're not going to stick him with Menardius or whatever we've been saying for that.
Yeah.
How about I just continue saying Echevarria? That sounds good.
All right. You start browsing through the through books. You spend your, good time going over the names, and you don't find any of the names you already have. Not even Edgar Joe.
Was she forthcoming with any other sources of student information? I mean, I'm not sure if that's the type of thing they usually let people the outside look at, but
this has got to be way before the FERPA stuff.
Private tracks or whatever. Yeah. She's sort of charming, You got that rapport, the librarian rapport there, maybe.
Well, what kind of records do you want to go over? What exactly are you looking for?
Well,
you want to find out if they were enrolled into the university or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, once we have, they're going to have records of all the students that sign up at the university. So if they're enrolled in the university, mm-hmm. like what classes they're taking, what are the connections, things like that, whatever. You never know what you're going to find once you pull a file out, right?
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Just want to try to help you and tell you that you go over the files and you don't find any of the references you're looking for.
What you want to do? You want to help me understand, but I'm not. You want to help me?
But make some library use roles to see how much time do you actually spend doing that during the day.
Oh, a 99. Apparently, Dorothy, you're chatting.
Sounds like the whole day.
Do they also have their own newspaper records here, Randall?
Let's say they do.
Okay, why don't we split up since Dorothy's looking for information on the kids. We didn't find them in the yearbooks.
Yeah, I'm thinking a slightly wider net about just occultism in the university in general and references to Echevarria. Maybe if he shows up somewhere, some clubs or classes or something along those lines.
Very good.
I'm going to look in the newspaper for the barn incident 1924 and maybe try and pinpoint any connecting weirdness happening pre-barn fire.
You're going over the papers?
Yeah.
You said? Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Let's start with Jim. Jim, how good was your library use role?
Hard success.
Very good. So you start, going over occult classes and all that. You don't find any of the names you're looking for again. You do run into a recurrent book that is being used, in several classes and calls your attention. You go and pick it up and make a spot hidden roll.
Spotting the hidden. That is a 1 point of luck later. That is a normal success.
Very good. You find that it was donated by one local library of the occult in downtown. And you get the name. It's the name of the library is The Eye from Beyond.
Okay. Where to visit next? Got it.
And other than that, nothing else.
Okay.
And you, Max, so how about your library use, bro?
Fail.
Fail? Okay.
But not quite as bad as Miss Astor's fail.
All right. You will have to spend more time, going over the papers. Okay. I'll give you another library use roll to both of you.
I can make that a regular success.
Both of you being the father and the detective, or is Dorothy involved at all after that 99? She made a speech at.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, just the father and and Elliot.
Ooh, 11. That's an extreme success.
Very good. That's what I was looking for. So you start helping, Elliot on his search, and you run into a very, very interesting piece of information in one of the papers. Let me put a picture here. Hold on. Well, this I'll give you that piece of information while I give access to my camera to Skype. But in the meantime, let's go back to the others.
I'm talking to Udo and King here before they head off. I'm a little nervous about the two of you going unescorted to the bank. I don't know how they would know, but I don't know how they knew before these thugs. I'm wondering if maybe I should go with you to the bank, and then you can come with to the police or grab some lunch or something. Just in case, you know.
Sure. Well, it's whatever would make you most comfortable, Miss Sullivan, of course.
So I will go with them.
Very good. So where are you going?
Where did the note tell us
to the... I don't know that we had a... specific something, but the safety, the first bank of Long Beach. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
It's in the note.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just wondering if you have the address.
We'll find it.
No, but if we stop a taxi, they'll know where it is, or I suppose, have we got in a hotel room?
The pilot arranged for a hotel.
Okay, because, I mean, they'll be...
Listen up, kids.
There's things called phone books back in the day where you could find out where things were. But you don't even need a phone book. You just pick up the phone and ask the operator. Exactly. Lattice, where should we go?
Or the concierge at the hotel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds good. Just let me know what you guys want to do from all the... all the options that you guys have.
Yeah, it's a brave new world.
All right. Let's have the taxi driver pull over to a nearby phone.
Well, we can just ask the taxi driver to just take us there.
Sure.
If that fails, then we can... does the taxi know where the first bank of Long Beach is?
He says, I know where it was. I can take you there. It's pretty close by.
What do you mean where it was?
Well, it was destroyed during the earthquake.
Interesting.
When was that?
Oh, the big LA earthquake. Sure, you have heard of it.
Have I heard of it?
Yes. It's pretty common knowledge.
Let How me long tell ago? You
the date. Looking for it right now.
We're going to say it was probably post 19.
It was post 1924 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you
the. But the safe deposit. Oh, before coming home. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, what if people had money in the bank? Where did it go to?
Yeah, they must have rebuilt somewhere.
Well, there are other banks. Do you want me to take you to any other bank?
Well, the First Bank of Long Beach surely rebuilt their bank somewhere. No.
I don't know if they did.
We'll have to.
Well, perhaps, yes. Perhaps we'll start with a phone call and call the operator and ask for the First Bank of Long Beach and see where they are. If you could stop by that phone there.
Okay, sure. Stops, you call. And the operator says, I have an address for the bank, but I believe that area was very damaged by the earthquake. I don't have a phone. I don't think they're active. There are a few businesses that had to close after the earthquake. Probably the bank is one of them, sir.
Ma'am? All right.
Ma'am, well, sorry. Yes.
Jeez.
Telephone voice is very husky. Operator.
Well, I guess we can go look at the old site. Seems like an odd thing to do, but...
Well, maybe there's a sign there that tells us where to go to.
Tells us something, yes.
Yes. All right, taxi driver, bring us...
driver?
Take us to the site of the old bank.
All right. So, yeah, he drives you for quite some time. He was not that close, as he said.
Okay.
Do I think that he's messing with us and that he's cheating us?
No, not really. You know, he's just, you know, sticking the highway. Seems to be kind of away from where you landed and, you know, where your hotel is. I was taking you to the place where the bank used to be, and you do notice that on the way there, you know, they were not lying. You can see that several buildings on the way there seem to be damaged and abandoned, After a while, he arrives to an empty building and says, "That's the address you gave me."
Are there any open businesses near it?
No, the whole area seems to be, affected by this, the whole block. Now, are there people outside, though.
Yeah. So maybe we can't have been the first people to come here and ask this question.
I'd like to give this guy some money to wait for us if we're really in a burned out section of town.
Sounds good.
Yeah, is it block after block of devastation, or is it just...
No, not really. You know, you see that some businesses are starting to grow again. Most of the shops in this area are closed.
Start walking down the main street that the bank was on towards the nearest business that I see. Come along. Let's go inquire of these businesses. Surely they know.
Are there people sort of waiting outside or hanging out outside?
Yeah, you actually do find some homeless people around the building, and you know, some other just going on their own business, going for work, maybe walking. Not that bad.
And the vault of the bank, I would think, would be the sort of least likely to get destroyed. Is there anything obviously still sort of like some big concrete box where the bank used to be, or is it just a pile of rubble? Or
no, it's actually there's actually a building there, right? And you can see that when you go in front of the building, you see that a few letters are missing, but you can still clearly read there that that's the First Bank of Long Beach.
All right, I'll try and go in the building.
All right,
I'm still walking down the street.
I will talk to the first person I look who doesn't look extremely dangerous.
make a log roll.
Pass.
Okay. Very good. I'll get back to you. So the earthquake was in 1933, for you guys to know. So
and we're now in 1935. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, a couple of years ago. So damage still there, but they're trying to rebuild. A lot of properties for sale. That kind of site is the one you get. Cora, a man with a actually seems to be very well dressed and passes by you. Yes? What can I do for you?
I had some money in this bank. I've been out of town for a while. I was hoping to collect it, but do you know if the bank has moved to a new location, or?
Well, see, it happened. You seem to be in luck. What are the odds? I used to work here, and he looks at the building.
Oh, really? How fascinating.
Such a shame.
Yes, yes. I can only imagine. Do you where do you work now? Did the bank move, or?
No, we closed. I'm working as a cashier now in a supermarket. I'm still applying for jobs.
Oh, wow. Well, do you know what happened to the bank's assets and things? There's some jewelry of my mother's in there that I'd really like to get back again.
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember that the Federal something Corporation, I don't know, it was the FDIC.
That's FDIC.
Yes, those are the guys that have all the people came in and got everything that belonged to the bank. And
But do you know where I could find them?
Now.
I'm sorry, what was that?
They hold custody of all the bank assets.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Do you know where their offices are? And I'm going to be very charming as I ask him to search his memory.
Very good. Why don't you give me a roll, actually, a charm roll?
Because he's actually success.
Looking at his watch right now.
I will lightly put my hand on his. Really, it would mean so much to me with a hard success and charm.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, he's in downtown Los Angeles. And he gives you a general direction
Oh, that's so helpful. So helpful. I really appreciate your time. I wish you the best.
Yeah. Just look for the federal building. You should be able to find them there. I think that's where they had the offices.
Oh, okay. Well, that's so helpful. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, lady. Have a good day.
Oh, you too, sir.
Keeps walking back to the supermarket.
Who can I still see of the doctor and Miss Sullivan? Or Mrs. Sullivan, I guess. Didn't you leave a family behind, Edwin?
Yep, I did.
Mrs. Sullivan.
That's yeah. Does Mrs. How far did they get?
You can call her out.
Mrs. Sullivan, doctor, I have some news.
Yes? Oh. What did you find out?
Apparently some federal agency took over the bank. Federal, yeah. He didn't have the whole name, but FDIC, and he's given me directions on how to get there.
Well, I guess we'll go there then. That seems perfectly fine. Seems easy. We've got the key. We've got a note.
Yes, we've got a police officer and a doctor. I mean, we're a very respectable group. This would be no problem.
Yeah. Guess we can go talk to them.
Doctor, are you ready to go?
Certainly.
Excellent.
Doctor, yes. When you entered the building, your first reaction was to just get out of there. A few people are just living there in very bad
conditions.
Oh,
it was Sullivan that went in the building. I think
it was you.
Utko was going to another business up the street or something.
Oh, I get it backwards.
Yeah, okay. It's all the same.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, Sullivan, just in time. All right. Let me get back to the other Sim. I need to provide something to... Max and Jean.
I had a question, Randall.
Yes.
So we meet back up, the three of us, and talk about what we discussed. While you mention this place, Jim, that you found reference to?
Yes. Yes, I would probably share that. What was the name of the occult bookstore?
The Eye from Beyond.
The Eye from Beyond. Now, does that spark makes me think of the symbol on the stone that Miss King has that we found in the box with the eye on it?
Well, it's, could be they could be related, probably not, you know.
Oh, really? Probably not.
Eyes are a very common motif in occult circles, Mr. Elliot.
Oh,
that is correct.
It may be a connection, but I would not put too much faith in it being a connection.
Hmm. Very well. So back to Randall owing us a picture.
Still waiting. The drama, the excitement.
I was trying to buy you time.
There you go. You have it now.
You? I don't see
movie
it.
Movie star.
So it's on Skype. Put it on Skype.
Oh.
Movie star. Sorry, yes. Buys the farm. We're sure to remember movie star Richard Spend from monster movies like The Vampire Mystery and Black as Night. Well, he scared his last kitty because he was stabbed to death at a crazy masquerade party last night. This is a terrible paper. I hate it already. It's gone now. There we go. Oh, don't read any further unless you've got a cast iron stomach. Reliable sources tell your humble reporter that his body was found at a farm out in the North Country. Apparently it was a real bloodbath where no more than a dozen people bought the farm. No other victims have been named, and the police don't have a clue, number one, about who might have gone on this depraved rampage. half the corpses were dressed up in robes and masks. It could have been anybody. Sven's been seen at crazy parties before. Did he get involved with the wrong married woman? Stumble into some kind of drug war? Who was Richard Sven, anyway?
That was a decent mid-Atlantic accent there, Max.
Took you a while to get going, but that was good.
That's right.
Who was Richard Sven? Well, clearly he was a movie star. You said so already.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, maybe we're looking at this Sven fella.
Okay. Make another library use roll now that you got this information of a name that you didn't have before.
Can I get back in on it, or am I?
Sure, you can.
Forever? All right.
Nope.
That's more like it. That's a hard success.
I have exhausted my library use for the day, apparently. as I roll all the zeros.
Oh no.
Oh.
Apparently the library
liberal blindness
moves from talking to me to talking to the father.
Well, I can't be bothered to look up. It's a movie star. My heart's not in this. It's some Hollywood nonsense.
The 100 is for his eyes glazing over as the topic just numbs him.
Clearly, he deserved whatever he got.
Yeah. Okay.
What a terrible thing for the priest to say. He got stabbed.
The priest who is forgiving of Job, but
not those movie stars. They're all sinners.
What church do you really work for?
Church of Divine Retribution. That's the one.
Well, to be fair, that's all churches.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So Miss Astor.
Oh,
yeah. You find a obituary of this guy that is mentioned on the newspaper from August the 13th of 1924. And the obituary cites natural causes for his death. You know, that's what you read on the paper. That is not, that's the other one. And it also cites the name of his sister, Yolanda Spencel, as his only surviving relation. Okay.
Joanna Spencer, you said?
Yolanda Spencel. Let me put it down on the chat.
Okay.
There you go.
Yolanda Spenzel.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. All right, guys. Give me just 1 minute. I'll be right back.
Well, maybe we go see this Spenzel. Father, you can offer
so
your
many
condolences.
Clues and so little luck.
I'm so sorry for the loss of that terrible man. We're better off without him.
I like that we're just breezing through the clue, like clipping along to the next step. There is a lot of steps, but at least we're clipping through them pretty quickly.
Who knows?
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that's what you get. Let's see. I will actually let's see if I can give you something else, but for now that's what you got. All right, okay. Let's go back to the others for now. So what are you guys thinking about going back to downtown, the federal building?
Yeah, I assume the police station's downtown anyway, so downtown, and then we can to the FDIC building. And so the taxi hopefully waited for us, and maybe he can take us to the FDIC building, the federal building.
Okay.
So while we're driving, I'm going to just sort of look around a little bit to see if there's anybody who's, you know, whose taxi started up when we started up, has been following us or anything like that.
You can roll, sure.
01.
Oh no, you know,
last time I got an extreme last time I got an extreme success looking for people following us, we got jumped. I'm just saying.
Okay, you're pretty sure that no one is following you or anything like that.
Excellent. All right, so gentlemen, which first do you think, the police station or the federal building?
Well, let's keep with the federal building. That's our one solid clue, as you said.
All right. Driver, can you bring us to this building? I'll offer the address description.
Sure. He knows where to take you in downtown to the federal building. And after probably 1 hour and a half, 2 hours, you arrive there.
Wow. Okay. Oh, because we're going from Long Beach to L.A., right? Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay,
that's a big building. You get out from the taxi. Are you gonna ask him to wait again, or?
I assume this looks like an easy area to get a cab again. No.
Yeah, sure.
So, okay. Where is the downtown office of the police station from here?
It's pretty close as well from here. You know.
Like walking distance, close. I know no one walks in LA, but
you can okay. Walk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, so
all right. So basically, when you arrive to the building, as I said, it's one of those buildings that have different offices and have one of these information plates outside of the building, and you go over the list of all the offices that you got on the very nice building, you know, Art Deco, and it actually holds the offices of the FDIC, as promised.
So I'm not sure that we have all the official paperwork we might need. I don't know if I should really suggest this, but I'm wondering if we want to pretend to be family or something. I mean,
they're likely to ask us for some kind of identification.
We
that
have
could
the
be
key.
A problem. That's.
I mean,
we have
we
the
could
key.
Certainly beat W.
Miss Sullivan, maybe you could say that you were on an investigation of some sort. Do you feel like you'd be comfortable?
Well, we are, certainly, and there was obviously murders involved, and that's all good. It's just a question of whether, well, we can give it a try. Yes.
Well, I think between you and the doctor, we can make a compelling case that we're not just vagrants.
Well,
so
the consistent case, of course.
The note is from?
From D to W.
Yeah, so... That's Job, right? No, that's Henslow.
No, Henslow. To, yeah.
No, the other way around. It's from.
It should be. Oh. Is D
W not... is Walter Winston, right?
Right. So it's to Henslow. It's from Henslow to Winston.
Okay.
Saying, hey, I'm glad you finally made it out here. So, yeah, so we're representing the family. Yeah, that's all good. Representing the family. Have the key. And maybe the key is all
we have that. I don't suppose we have that note that you all used to make your way into the estate.
Of course we do. I mean, what else happened to it? I don't think anything happened to it.
It's right here in my purse. Here you go.
Perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
I think this seems reasonable.
All right, well, we'll walk right into their offices. Is there a counter or something that we encounter?
Sure. There's a secretary right at the entrance of the office. Welcome. What can I do for you, ladies and gentlemen?
Good afternoon. I'm here representing a an investigation from New York, and that's brought us all out to your fair city here. We have a safe deposit box that we need access to. I have the key, and the owner.
Can I see some IDs?
Of course. I will hand over my badge.
Very good. Okay. She looks at the badge, looks at you, and says, what's the name of the police dame? This is... Oh, okay. I see. Let me get you to Mr. Burlington. He's the one in charge of the First Bank.
Okay.
Long Beach.
Great. Thank you.
Give me just 1 minute, okay? And she calls in the intercommunicator and calls for Burlington. You know, do you have... yeah, sure. You see her talking. Yeah, they're here right now. Okay, sure. Fine.
Can I do a psychology role to... Because I've done this myself to people as part of the police, to see if they're sending any sort of, if she's sort of sending a message, like, you know, that there was a warning, but I failed, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah.
Never mind. Nice
thought. No, one of them is a police officer. Sure. Yeah. Okay. She hangs up and says, 5 minutes.
Great. Thank you.
Is that okay with you?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes, but quite a nuisance. We hadn't realized that the bank had gotten destroyed. That must have been quite a blow to the city, this earthquake. I mean, it's one thing to read about it in the newspapers. It's quite another to really see it.
Oh, yes. Things haven't been good. But, you know, things are starting to pick up again. That's good.
Yeah, it looks like you've got a little bit of rebuilding going on. It's nice to see.
As many banks are closing, but you know, some other business will take their places and whatnot. You know, that's the way economy works in America. In actually, California is actually improving the last year. And, you know, through a quick chat with the secretary, you get that feeling. Not a long time passes before you see kind of a heavyset man walking towards you. Hi, I'm Mr. Burlington. I assume you're looking for the information of the First Bank of Long Beach.
Yes, we have a... contents of a safe deposit box that part of an ongoing investigation. I'm Detective Sullivan.
A pleasure.
New York PD.
Sullivan. Oh, New York. Very nice. Come over to my office.
Thank you. These are some representatives of the family working with me.
Oh, very good. Yes, you can all come. He rushes towards his office, opens the door, lets you in. There are a couple of uncomfortable chairs. Two of you can sit while the other stands. I don't have chairs for everyone, but...
I'm sure the doctor will mind.
I will stand.
Okay. Ladies, so let's see. First bank. Goes over some papers. Yes, everything that was worth anything that wasn't nailed to the floor or to the walls is at the Federal Warehouse in Long Beach. Hang on a sec. I got the address somewhere around here. Here it is. And he's you know, takes a piece of paper and writes down the address of the warehouse.
Is there any way you could give us a note? You know, oftentimes in these cases, dealing with people who work in warehouses and things, you have to go through all this rigmarole. It would expedite things quite a bit if you could perhaps just jot us a note saying that we have permission to access this material.
Well, Melissa said that one of you were a cop. Is that correct? Is that you, sir?
That's me. Yes.
Ma'am.
Detective Sullivan.
Oh, okay. May I see your badge, if you don't mind?
Of course. Yeah, hand it to him.
Okay. He writes down your name on the piece of paper. Make credit rating roll.
Credit rating, huh?
Just don't fail by a lot.
All right, I didn't fail by a lot, and I can spend luck to make me fail by less, if that matters.
No, that's okay. If it is not above 90, the batch will do the trick for you. I can give them a call and tell them that you're coming. Are you planning to go there today or tomorrow? What's
yeah.
your plan?
We'd probably go today if we can get out there in time, if they're still open.
Well, he looks at his watch. It's going to take you a couple of hours, maybe three. Yes, I guess you can get there in time. Let me call. He grabs the phone, asks for the operator to, you know, get a transfer to the federal warehouse, where he starts talking to a guy named Aiden, and he says that you are going to show up. And that you are going to go for a deposit box from the bank, and that he should be expecting you today.
Great.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. Well,
anything else? Huh?
I think that'll do it.
Well, what's a pleasure. He stands and starts shaking your hands, and then heads to the office and opens the door. Have a nice day, ladies and gent.
You too, Mr. Burlington. Well, I think before we head out there, we probably should stop by the police station since we're right here. Now, the can you remind me the incident occurred, as far as we know, in Los Angeles, or there's no real connection to Long Beach in terms of the incident, right?
You remember that he mentioned Los Angeles, but you know, you're talking about the cultist.
The cultist.
Yeah, fire. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Not in Long Beach. No.
Okay. Well,
I think we have a better location for it, but you guys wouldn't know that yet.
I think we need to head there right now. We don't want to get delayed. They close. Whereas the police stations are open all the time.
20 minutes to go talk to the police and 3 hours to get out to Long Beach. I've been tired of driving all over town. I think it'd be nice to just, you know, do this while we're here, and then we can head out to Long Beach. I mean, what time is it? How close? We have no idea what time it is.
Well, but the only reason I bring it up is he kept looking and trying to figure out the time.
Well, no, that was your... I thought that was the person on the...
Past noon already.
Okay.
Let's just go to the police station. We're right near it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay.
Then they can start working.
All right. So let me get back to the others very quickly.
Okay,
so guys, other than you also find, now that you are there, you know, now that you got a name and you start browsing over the all newspapers from those dates, You also find one for Echevarria.
A newspaper article that mentions that guy, Echevarria?
There's an obituary about a guy named Echevarria, Ramon Echevarria. Now, this is the first time that you are not sure if that's his real name, right? But you run into an Echevarria.
We've heard a first name.
Correct.
Ramon Echevarria.
Correct.
Is that okay, Randall? Is that acceptable?
It's getting better. It's getting better. You're going to get it down after 5 months playing this.
5 months? Okay.
Right. So, yeah, apparently he died. Let me go over this. The obituary ran on August 15th. On 1924. He's identified as a longtime resident of Southern California and as a philanthropist with no surviving kin. It also lists his cause of death as regrettable violence.
Wow. I mean, any violence that ends your life is probably regrettable.
Yeah.
No. There's a line. There's a difference.
Oh, that's right.
And you know, it cites where the grave is going to be. You know, cemetery in Glendale. And that's it. That's all you find.
Does his death date line up with the same death date of Richard Spend?
Well, spotted. It doesn't.
It's a couple days later.
After.
You got the date from the other obituary, which is
August 13th
on there.
15, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, underneath. Sorry. August 13th and August 15th. Interesting. I still think we need to go speak to Spen's sister, Yolanda Spenzel. See if maybe she knows what was going on. If she's still around.
I also wouldn't put too much faith in the obituaries in the papers around here. Because the newspaper article said that Spend was stabbed, which jives with what we know of the raid on the cultists, and his obituary says natural causes. So,
right.
To be fair, being stabbed probably does count as natural causes in LA. But
well, I would think that the paper could at least get the. I thought maybe they didn't put that in there because it was grisly. I mean, maybe who knows what kind of paper it was.
Well, if they didn't want it to be grisly, they could have called it regrettable violence.
The trail is really cold, and it was a long, almost 10 years ago, but maybe we could find somebody in the hospital if Echevarria was, is that right? was
or the newspaper report.
Or the newspaper report, yeah.
Well, so, that's possible, yeah.
Somebody had to write that obituary.
Yeah.
Well, and there must have been an actual article about the whole thing, I would think, that somebody reported on.
Why don't we just call up the operator and see if there's a Yolanda Spenzel listed, and we can call her and see if she's even worth our time.
Okay.
Did the obituary for Echevarria, did it give any next of kin?
Yeah, it said no next of kin.
Oh, okay.
I think. It was...
Well, there's no next of kin that he survived by, but, you know, he's buried in Glendale Cemetery. Maybe he's surrounded by other Echevarrias or something.
Yeah, we should at least have a look.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to call
Is there a Yolanda Spenzel listed?
No, she isn't.
She's not.
No.
Solves that.
Well, I mean, you know, women get married and change their last name all the time. That would be some type of public records.
Ugh. More records.
Yeah. All right. So, although, you know, maybe that would be in the hot, in the, it'd have something about it, engagement announcement in a newspaper, and we could knock out that one with the guy who wrote the, writes the obits, or, you know, maybe has somebody at the newspaper wrote about the ruckus at the barn to begin with. We could knock two things out of one location anyway, instead of.
That's actually, yeah, that's good too. Talk to the person who wrote the barn cult / obituary. This seems like, it seems like a terrible obituary. Don't you have to pay for obituaries?
Yeah.
Who would have paid for that? Terrible obituary. Someone made a bad decision, or they didn't like him. Must have been that Yolanda.
Okay, give you just 1 minute, guys, and I'll be right back, okay? Just 1 minute.
Okay.
Timer started, Randall.
So what do you got?
So much information.
Yeah. You were talking about the different steps. There are a lot. So do you guys think the newspaper then, or do you think...
I kind of want to go check out that occult store.
Yeah, I do too, even though it's not, you don't have a direct.
We'd have to see whichever one's closer. And then it puts the burden on Randall.
All right, yeah. you just let me know what you guys want to do.
You gotta break out the map, Randall.
Damn it.
Yeah.
So
I'm going all over the book. But that's fine. Just let me know what you guys want.
He says with 9 fingers in 10 different places.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm here for, guys.
The bookstore in the cemetery? Is that the place? Is that the, what we're thinking?
Right, guys. So, where are you going to go?
There were options from here, as we talked about, maybe the Glendale Cemetery. We talked about maybe the newspaper, the LA Times, I guess. And we talked about the occult bookstore, which is in L.A.
Yeah. So you see the thing regarding the call to the operator, the fact that you cannot get it on the phone doesn't mean that you cannot find a record, right, of where she lives right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. I really don't want to go look through more records right now.
Yeah. I think it's either it's the bookstore in the cemetery.
Or whatever.
Yeah, City Hall. See how we'll do. So, where to?
The bookstore or the cemetery? Whichever one's closer.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So,
Glendale's out in the valley, so I don't know where the LA Times is located.
Bookstore is closer.
Bookstore. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said the LA Times. Yeah, the bookstore. Awesome.
Cool. All right. What do you guys want to do? Go to the bookstore. You arrive to the place. You can see that, you know, it's a little bit dusty when you enter. It's one of those places where nothing is new. There's just one guy who is arranging some books. And on the top of the... the top of the library, and he looks down at you when the bell rings and says, "Hi, welcome." Not very enthusiastically.
And kind of creepily.
Are you looking for something in specific?
How do you do, sir?
Yes, we are. We're looking for anything you might have on Golgoroth.
Golgoroth. He looks around in his head. You can see that he is that. No, I don't recall having anything on Golgoroth. Is that Egyptian?
I would like to just look at him and just kind of scan the library or the bookstore here, and if you would allow me an occult roll to just determine how. I mean, is this like just some tourist bookstore, or is this a serious occultist place? Is my question.
A mixed bag. You can see that, you know, there's some books and that you obviously know that, you know, they are just telling lies and making up stories. But there, you know, there's a section there where you find a couple of, couple of books are worth some money, actually. Some translations and whatnot from all books.
I understand that you provide some of your books to the university.
Yes, I donate some. That's the best you can do for your city, right? For your society.
You consider that good for society, corrupting the minds of young men and women. This filth.
No, knowledge doesn't corrupt.
I raise my eyebrows. It does not.
No, of course not. You know, the more knowledge you get, the less people can have of influence in you, like telling you lies about false gods and whatnot. So,
I see. So you don't consider it corruption when, say, a group of university students gets together to summon a demon from the pit. This is not corruption in your eyes?
Demon from the pit. He looks around at the other two. Are you for real? Okay, go ahead.
See what his reaction is. I'll burn one less to make that a hard success.
He found this amusing. And now he cannot stop. He has a smile on his face and cannot get rid of it. Like, all right. That what you want to believe, but no. Like, if the university doesn't want the books, they can just give them back to me. That's fine. Someone will buy them.
Glad that you find the corruption of youth and the and murder and violent sex to be so amusing.
All right. This is getting a little bit strange, gentlemen. Is there anything I can do for you?
I'm going to start browsing the better parts of the bookstore, to see what's there, to see what I can find, see if there's anything that jumps out at me, and I am going to be intentionally rough with the books as I do so.
And I will lean intimidatingly on the front counter.
Okay. He has stopped smiling now. He looks a little bit afraid. Hey, those books, be careful. You, sir. What do you want? I haven't done anything, just donated some books to the university. What do you want?
We just want to talk.
So where do you get your books, sir?
People sell them to me, you know? It's not like libraries like these are all over the place.
What does the name Ekvadia mean to you?
Ekvaria? Oh, it's Chavarria, you mean? Yes, Chavarria.
I hate you, Randall.
Spoil your leg, Max.
It's just be fun. Both of my legs and my tongue.
Oh,
Chavarria.
He's dead. Sorry. He's dead. I have, I have nothing to do with him. He's dead.
Yes, but what does that have to do with your books?
Nothing. He was a big shot. Actually, I don't mind telling you that he was, because he's dead. Everyone knows. What's he gonna do to me now?
What?
You know, I could tell he was creepier than you. He looks at the father.
Why do you say that?
Oh, he was a strange man. Hey, please stop that. It's very expensive. All right. If you don't I don't know anything, and if you don't start behaving, I will have to call the police.
Well, tell us what you know about Echevarria, and perhaps we can be on our way.
Well, all I know is that he was for real, you know? You see a lot of customers coming here pretending. Posers, they know nothing. This guy was for real. He came once looking for a book I didn't have, but he creeped me out. I knew he was a wealthy man. That's all I know.
What book was he looking for?
I don't know. Was it the guy, the crazy Arab, the Necronomicon? Have you heard of it?
I want to make an occult roll just to try and see if I've heard of it. Oh, way off. Way off.
Is that an occult roll to have heard of it?
Yeah.
What's your occult, Jim? Out of character.
50.
Ooh.
You can roll. You can roll, Jim. Why not? Let's see how good you roll.
And Dorothy too?
Okay. There's,
you have a cult too. Yeah.
There's my 0-1 for the month.
Oh, nice! Nice!
Oh, by Alhazred.
Is that the which edition was that? Was that
which translation?
It surprises you, Jim, to hear this name here.
I raise my eyebrows. He came looking for that book in this store?
Well, I obviously, I don't have it. I never heard of it before he started asking, but I did some research, and apparently it's very obscure.
Where would a man like Echevarria get his books then?
I wouldn't know that. Where is a rich guy getting his book from? I guess he can get it from everyone, right? Ask them to sell. What can I say?
Well, last question for you then. Where did this Echevarria live? Echevarria, sorry.
Let's see. I wouldn't know that, but it's got to be on, one of those rich neighborhoods. Uptown. But he doesn't give you any specific direction or anything. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, you have been a great help. I would suggest that for the health and safety of your own soul, you burn this filth and turn your eyes to God in short order, my friend.
He's really intimidated now. right?
Iron and brimstone.
Yeah. And he's just standing there.
I actually have another question for you. Were there any other clients that you have or people that you know in that circle on the same level as Echevarria?
Oh, there you go. You got it. No, that I no. No. He was one of the kind.
5 months, my ass.
Very good. So let's make a break to go with the others at the police station.
All right.
So there was something you wanted to do, actually, Ms. Sullivan. You promised so the father.
There were two things I wanted to do at the police station. One was to check in, have them send a note to Savannah to say that that I can be reached at this hotel, and this is here it is, and I'll be getting them information as soon as I have a chance to write it up.
Okay.
And then I would like to ask the desk sergeant if I can speak to the if I can make an appointment for tomorrow to speak with the case officer from the mass killing and fire, and I'll describe the, you know, give the date and the, as much as I know of the location.
Oh, I don't know about that, but yeah, I can get you in touch with one of the detectives. Why not?
That'd be great. Yeah, we've got some more work to do this afternoon, but if I could set something up for tomorrow, I could meet with one of the detectives. That would be, or this evening if they're around, that would work too, I suppose.
All right. Yes, sure. You write this down on a calendar and arranges an appointment for you tomorrow.
Okay.
10 a.m. Good for you.
That should work. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Get it, please.
Do you remember the case yourself?
I've got to be honest. I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? Big mass murder. Guns. I mean, even for LA, I would think that this would have stood out a little bit.
Well, maybe it was before my time.
It could have been 24. Yeah, probably was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I wouldn't recall that. I was too young, you know, not paying a lot of attention to what's going on other than, you know, high school. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure one of the detectives, I'm actually going to look for one of the old guys who work here. He's got to know.
Great.
He's got to
know. That would be great. Yeah, I'll be in tomorrow at 10 a.m. then.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you.
Alrighty. You leave. Are you planning to go to the warehouse?
We are.
Very good. So let me go to page 340. All right.
That's the little finger on the left hand.
Jeez, Randall. I'm almost sorry for you. But not quite.
All over the place, but that's fine. Oh, the
pain. I mean, you're the one who started this session by splitting the party, so, you know.
All right. The Feral Warehouse. Yes, you arrived to the building. Let me check. It's quite unremarkable. It's a very low building with a tin roof and handful of garage doors clustered at one end. pretty much you can figure out that that's for, you know, for cars and trucks to enter in order to load or unload cargoes. Probably roughly 200 feet long and 100 feet wide. There's an entrance where you can knock on the door.
Sure.
And there's a security guard. Hey, what can I do for you, ladies?
I will pull out my badge, and I will say, Detective Sullivan, I'm supposed to meet Aiden here at the warehouse. The FDIC officer called ahead for us.
Oh, sure. Yes, I'm Aiden. Come over.
Oh, excellent.
What exactly is it that you're looking for?
We can you see the key? Yep, I'll show him the key. Looking for the contents of this box.
At the same time, when you arrive, there's a truck that is kind of entering the warehouse. And you see that Aiden kind of signals to the driver to wait. All right, yes, let's see. Well, you will have to go.
Have we seen this truck before?
No. Okay. First time.
Sorry.
Okay.
All
so he tells you you will have to go and look for the box yourself. You know, we don't have a lot of people coming for the for the bank anymore.
Okay.
A lot of people came here like a year and a half ago.
Just point us in the right direction.
All right, come over here. And he walks you into the warehouse. And you find yourself in front of several boxes. You know, there are a lot of boxes on the way there. Crates. You notice they're poorly labeled, though. And over there, you'll find the boxes. Once you find it, let me know because you won't be able to open it without my key. Okay? Go over there and look for it.
Okay.
And he rushes to, you know, the front again, and opens the gate for the truck to enter.
Does the key have a number on it?
It does. It does have a key. I mean, a number.
Seem to match the numbers on the box.
Plural. Make a spell hidden roll just to see how quickly you find it.
I get a hard success.
I am distracted by the warehouse guards.
Okay. Yeah, it will take you some time, but eventually, stacked up, and you see that it is on a wooden pallet. You find it. You know, you need to go over couple of pallets and crates in order to find the boxes because they seem to be on separate places. But you find it. You find the box.
Excellent. Does it look like it hasn't been touched? Like it hasn't been opened at all?
No, just as dusty as the other ones next to it.
Okay.
Very good. So, you know, you after the officer, after a while, you know, lets the truck aim, comes back to you and says, you found it?
Who gets out of the truck? Can we see anything?
Yeah, some guys seem to be taking some boxes out of the truck and putting them there on the main hall of the warehouse.
Okay. Yeah, guys. I think we did find it. It's
this one here.
Very good. I got the key already.
Great.
So let's get it out. Do you want to go to the office to open it? I don't know what it is inside, so I guess we don't have a lot of places here.
Yeah, some privacy.
If you have a place you can give us some privacy, that'd be great.
Sure, sure. Let's go to the office. Yes. He walks back to the office with the box takes his key and enters the key, unlock it. All right, you're all set. I'll be back in 10 minutes to check on you.
Great. It's going to save you a sand roll leaving.
Okay. So, let's see. What do you find?
Well, so I'm going to – he walked to the door. I'm going to step up to the door and close it behind him and sort of stand in front of it. Just to sort of stop somebody from sort of coming in here, because we still don't know who's what.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. So, so it's Sullivan and Utko, I guess, opening the box and the contents.
Sure.
Very good. So, let's see. A lot of pictures. There are a lot of pictures on the box, at least six of them. They're clearly taken from some concealment. Whoever took the pictures was hiding in the bushes or something. You do notice that on each capture, there are between 3 and 12 people engage in what seems to be some sex acts in a variety of interior and exterior locations. Now, you guys have never seen anything like this before. You know, the kind of act these people is engaged disturb you, you know, even you, Cora.
I'm hardened.
Yeah. Make a sanity roll.
You sure?
Yes.
I have a talent that says I don't.
Oh,
don't
you got the talent. Or, sorry, no. So yeah. That's fine. You're okay. I thought you were saying.
I passed mine.
Very good. Pass. So no points for a pass. Slightly more than half of the photos were taken indoors, and you do notice that probably they are in a couple of residences, and they look very opulent. With, you know, tasteful decoration and costly furnishings.
You said they're all inside, or some?
Some are outside. Some are outside as well, but on the background of the pictures, you can see the big houses. You know, this wasn't taken on your regular neighborhood.
Is there enough detail and lighting that we might be able to identify?
Yeah.
The neighborhood, or
is there anything written on the back of the pictures?
No, not really. Let me give you more information about the pictures. Let's see.
You don't have them? You can't just paste them in.
No, I don't have the pictures. No, yeah, that's a problem. You know, these kind of pictures.
Pictures like that are easily found on the internet, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just do a search. I'll give you a few words so you can Google it. All right. So a few of the photos were also taken outside, as I said. Seem to be private gardens. You can see the big houses on the back. background. Now, two of them kind of catch your eye because they were taken on the same working class apartment, or maybe looks like a servant's room. You don't know for sure. Even though most of the people in the pictures, they seem to be naked. You can see that they are wearing some jewelry that looks expensive. One man that apparently of Latin American descent appears in all the photos.
A man or a woman? Sorry, did you say a woman?
A man.
A man. Okay.
And he is clearly enjoying all of the different activities on display on the different pictures.
This fellow must be Echevarria.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Funny thing, there's something else here that actually, you, doctor, you do recognize Edgar Jupp on two of the pictures.
And this fellow here, he was in the psych ward.
Ah. Interesting.
He looks very young, though. Completely different. You know, it took you some time to recognize him. You were going browsing through pictures, and you finally, I've seen this guy before. Yes, this is clearly Edgar Jupp that you saw him passing, when the father was talking to him. Maybe the father could have spotted him, easily. Let's see what else. Yeah, that's pretty much what you can tell from the pictures at this point. Maybe you can start looking for the other people, see if you recognize any of them later on. But at this point, right now, opening the box, that's all you get.
So the only thing in the box are these pictures?
No, there's also, there are pictures, and there's also some books. But they seem to be accounting books. They are handwritten ledgers.
They were tracking a drug trade stuff, so that's not super surprising. Potentially,
what kinds of entries? I mean, does it say that it's for certain goods, or is it names?
Make a library use or accounting if you have.
10.
I'll get your library use as a hard at least.
Yeah. It's an extreme. No, it's not quite an extreme. It's a hard success on library.
Okay. Enough for you to realize that the books are encrypted. You cannot make sense of the entries.
This will take some further perusal to understand.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if the code is in any of the papers we've been seeing.
I don't know, but
notebook or something.
I'm going to scoop up the pictures and slide them into my purse.
Yeah, good.
In case he comes back suddenly.
Okay. And I'll grab the book. That's it, right? There's the book and the pictures.
Yes, and a flyer. And okay. I will give you a picture of the flyer right now.
And a pony.
Exactly. And in the middle of the safe deposit box is a red dragon.
So I just send it to the Skype chat. You guys can paste it over there.
Okay. Okay. Where should we stay? Echevarria equals black. Buchwald equals town car.
Now, you can easily recognize that as the handwriting from Henslow, because you have seen so many letters of him.
Okay. Oh, right.
And is it just this page? I mean, is there a map inside or?
Nothing. Just that.
Huh.
Oops. I didn't mean to paste that into the thing there. Sorry. That's not very useful. So black and town car. Is there anything in the photos that is sort of vehicular?
Nothing of the sorts.
Okay.
And that's it, guys. That's what you find.
All right. So yeah, I will. I think while we're leaving, I would take the book, have the book in hand, and I'll hand the flyer to Miss King there to put in her purse with the pictures.
Okay, very good. Is everything all right then? Should I put it back, or
we're all set?
Should we get rid of the box?
Go ahead and
you can.
It's empty.
Mark this one closed.
Oh, very good. Sure, let me do that right now. I just need your signature here, and he pulls out a register of different boxes from the bank. Some of them are marked, some of them are not, and gets to you and asks you to sign it.
Just a quick question. Does your book indicate do you have any records of the address of whoever set up the box in the first place?
I'm pretty sure you can find it over there. He points to, the multiple boxes and crates are, lying there at the...
Oh, great. Really?
Yeah, if you spend a few months...
Yeah, I assume this is a giant pile of...
Oh, yes.
Oh, so disorganized, it's not organized.
Chaos. Yeah, okay. No, it's not organized at all. You could tell that, based on the time that it took you to find the box and the way the other things were arranged around the boxes. Hmm. As I said, honestly... It surprises me to still see some people coming here for that stuff. There was a lot of movement right after we brought it here, but that's it. After that, it was quiet until now. You got all our banks to take care of right now, as you can see. Points to the truck.
And nobody's come to see this box, I assume, in the past couple of years.
Well, no, we wouldn't allow anyone to come over here without the proper key.
Yeah, they might have had the key. I was just curious what the history was.
Oh. Well, we should have it right here, right next to the, deposit box information. And as you can see, it is empty. You're the first ones.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Anytime.
Well, I guess we're head off.
You exit the warehouse, and let's see what the others want to do, because we're closing the session. So I just want to know what exactly is happening. So you exit the library. You hear the bell of the door as you exit. Where are you planning to go, guys?
Cemetery?
We've got the cemetery, we've got public records, and we've got the newspaper. Those are the places we were considering. Cemetery is fine with me, but is
cemetery. Let's go Very to the cemetery.
Good. So, okay. Just to save some time, you arrive to the cemetery. You find the place where where Sharia is lying. The
grave.
The grave. Quite dead by now, and. And yeah, you can see that it says Ramon Echeverria, but it's not well kept. You see that it is no one is coming here to leave flowers or anything.
No one cares. Poor Echeverria.
Perfect. That's the life of a cultist.
I think we would want to check in with the caretakers and find out, when was he interred? Was there a ceremony?
Right.
Does anyone come? Yeah,
was there anyone here?
Is there a family buried around him? Like a whole line of Echeverrias going. Yeah.
Who paid for the plot? Right.
Okay, so let's leave that for the start of the next session then.
Cool.
All right, guys.
Now, is this now the beginning of the session and we get to roll luck, or?
So much.
You were not back when I told you guys to roll luck.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
unlucky you. You can roll it.
Oh, look at that. 96. Excellent. Okay.
All right, guys. So I guess we will be talking next week.
Awesome. That's
good. Cool.
All right.
Take care, Randall.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.